Okay, so we were talking about the seven area jewels, because here in the 40th prayer it says, may all beings attain the seven jewels of an exalted being. Okay, this is the prayer the Bodhisattvas would sing someone engaged in business. Okay, so you're getting not material jewels, but spiritual jewels, which are faith, ethical conduct, learning, generosity, personal integrity, consideration for others, and discriminating wisdom. Okay, so we're talking about faith, the first one, and there's three kinds of faith, okay, in the general description. So the first kind of faith is called clear faith or lucid faith, and this is the kind of faith that sees the qualities of, for example, the three jewels. Okay, so it's able to see the qualities and understand them and appreciate them. Okay, the second kind of faith is aspiring faith, and this one builds on seeing the qualities of the three jewels and aspires to attain them. Or it sees the qualities of, let's say, samadhi, and, you know, has it. Remember in the, when it talks about the five faults of samadhi and the eight antidotes, or the five faults that interfere with, you know, gaining serenity, and the eight antidotes, the first of the eight antidotes is faith, okay? So this is the faith that, you know, sees the qualities or the benefits of gaining samadhi and aspires to gain them. Well, actually, the second of the eight antidotes is aspiration. So you see how they kind of fit together, but it's an aspiring faith. It sees the qualities and wants to attain it. Then the third kind of faith is called convinced faith or convictional faith. Kind of convictional is an odd translation, but it's the kind of faith that comes around through understanding, through learning. So this can come about in two ways. On an initial level, it might be faith because we heard in a teaching about emptiness or what liberation is like, what enlightenment is like, what the bodhicitta is like, and we have some conviction in them through having heard the teaching from another person. Then a higher, more reliable kind of convinced faith is after we have thought about that teaching ourselves, okay? And through having thought about it, we understand it, we know its causes, how it can be produced, we see that, you know, it can produce certain effects and what those effects are. And so through actually understanding what the three jewels are, what samadhi is, or whatever it is, you know, then we have convinced faith. And so this faith is really much more stable because it's based on investigation and understanding. Okay? So you'll see that sometimes, you know, I mean, at the beginning we don't know much, so we kind of learn and have some kind of faith just by believing and seeing the qualities somewhat, but then that faith isn't so stable because somebody else comes and talks about the guys from outer space who have even better qualities, and they're certain to appear to you and take you in their spaceship to the Pure Land, and wow, it sounds good, and it's much easier than this three countless great eons business. And so, you know, our faith shifts. Or give you some invention. You know, when we were studying Madhyamaka, we would study different of the non-Buddhist views, and we would say to him, you know, like, why are we refuting these? Because who would believe this stuff anyway? You know? I mean, the views seem so weird to us. But he said, look, these views are not believed in by people who are idiots. Their views that, you know, they worked out by some kind of logical reasoning that was not correct logic, but, you know, some kind of reasoning, some kind of logic, or through some kind of meditation experience that, again, wasn't correct meditation experience, but, you know, they had it. And he said, if you met one of these teachers and they taught you this, you would believe it. You know, you're not as smart as you think you are. He didn't say that last part, but that's what it kind of did to our arrogance. In other words, if we haven't investigated something thoroughly, yeah, so that we really understand it, if somebody who's very articulate comes along in another system and explains their philosophy, you know, well, that sounds pretty good, you know, and we switch over. So that's why it's so important to really think about things and make them our own through understanding them and thereby have faith. Okay? And so here, when we have that kind of faith, then faith and wisdom really complement each other. Okay? So like I said before, when we start talking about faith, faith makes our mind kind of soft and receptive. You know, we get rid of this kind of harsh skepticism and doubt and show me kind of attitude. So faith, it makes the mind more receptive. So that facilitates wisdom in the sense that we're better able to hear, and then after we hear, we think about and, you know, gain some understanding of it. And then, of course, when we've gained some understanding through looking at it with wisdom, then our sense of confidence in that teaching or in the objects of refuge or in emptiness or whatever realization it is or in our spiritual master, whatever it is, because we've looked with wisdom, then our faith increases. Okay? So you see that faith and wisdom, from a Buddhist perspective, are not contradictory things. It's not like at the time of the Renaissance, faith was the direct opposite of science. And, you know, religion was faith and science was wisdom. But Buddhism doesn't see things like that. Here, you know, Buddhism contains both faith and wisdom, and they mutually enhance each other. Okay, so that's important to understand.